CCNSO members, they want part two. This is ICANN 61, San Juan, Puerto Rico. Meeting starting at 10:30, ending at 11. Meeting room 209 BC, March 13, 2018.
I left early, so I was final grade, so still the same.
I'll send this one.
Yeah, it's the graph of my dear.
Tener un señor haciendo, si van a ver, van a tener un señor que se llama Don Periñón, que es muy famoso, que toca música, no sé, tú sabes cómo son así, que son súper bellos, es como muy famoso, bueno, él es el padre de Puerto Rico. Bueno, van a hacer todo tipo como actividades típicas, entonces ojalá pueda venir. Entonces, pues nada, yo creo que está. Entonces te quería dar la entrada porque si no se nos puede. Okay. ¡Ay, camiseta!
Yo no hablaba con él, solo me con
Thank you. watch Netflix.
Had a very busy day yesterday. Yeah, and two very busy days, and then I got drunk. I know, but at this point, I had 2 days of actually quite early nights in my sense. Because I knew I had a few days left. Actually, today, I mean, no, I don't bring it. It's only 4 hours.
If I could ask everyone to take a seat, we'll start in 1 minute. Good morning and welcome back from coffee and welcome to back to what I believe is the 43rd or 44th face-to-face meeting of this group since its inception, which I find kind of remarkable, actually. This session is on the CCNSO as decisional participant. Three presentations are planned in the next half hour. I will be doing a very brief summary of the activities in the Empowered Community Administration since we last met in Abu Dhabi. This will be followed by Katrina's speaking to us about the Rejection Action Guideline, which is almost out of the oven and ready to go. And lastly, David will be talking to us about the IRP process. So I will start with a brief summary of where the ECA has been since Abu Dhabi. Most recent activities of ICANN that involved the Empowered Community and the Empowered Community Administration was the adoption of the PTI FY19 Operating Plan and Budget. This went out for a public comment shortly after Abu Dhabi on the 26th of November. The staff reported back on the comments received by the budget from the Empowered Community in mid-December. As you can see, the board approved the PTI budget and operating plan and the IANA FY operating plan and budget on the 4th of February, which initiated a rejection action petition period. We were formally notified by the ICANN corporate secretary of this on the 9th. That period ended on the 2nd of March of this year. No rejection action petitions were received by any of the SOACs. If they were, none were sent up to the ECA for consideration, And a couple weeks ago, I closed out this matter by issuing a letter to the ICANN corporate secretary saying that no, there was no activity on our part. With regards to upcoming activities, as I alluded to yesterday in our joint session with the GNSO Council, coming up next is the ICANN draft FY19 operating plan and budget, as well as revisions to the five-year operating plan. The public comment period for the FY19 operating plan and budget closed on the 8th of March. As you can see, there were a fair number of comments received, and having reviewed them, they mostly centered on the funding cuts proposed in the budget to the ICANN Fellowship and ICANN Wiki funding. Staff is currently reviewing the comments received. Their report is due on the 12th of April. Hopefully they'll make that deadline. In earlier discussions I had with ICANN board members, it appeared they thought they were going to vote at their retreat on the 10th and 12th of May. However, I'm getting conflicting information from ICANN staff suggesting that they may actually not vote until the end of May. And as you recall from my comments yesterday, if they vote any later than about the 10th of May and the rejection action petition is put on the table by the empowered community, we will not have sufficient time to organize a public forum on any rejection action petition at the Panama City meeting. So the procedure as to what happens here, once the board votes, the ICANN organization, the corporate secretary, notifies the empowered community administration that the board has taken a vote on the budget and adopted the budget, and this starts the 21-day rejection action petition period. And again, the $64 question is, will any rejection action petitions be submitted based on the comments that were made during the public comment period? And the short answer is nobody knows. I have no idea. It remains to be seen, and also it remains to be seen if one is filed that it gets a supporting decisional participant to back it as well. And again, as I note, if board does not vote until, if the board doesn't vote really before about the 9th or 10th of May, we will not have sufficient time to organize a public forum at ICANN 62 if indeed we are confronted with a rejection action petition. And personally, I think if we got into that situation where we had to hold a public forum as a teleconference subsequent to Panama on an issue of such contention as the budget, I think it would not be a good development for the community. And are there any questions?
Thank you. Thank you, Stephen. Liz Williams, AU. Just a quick question about whether you think it's ever likely that that kind of activity would actually take place. So is there a, and you just said that it's a risk to the organization if, for example, that happened around a budget. What do you perceive as the likely risk?
If I understand your question correctly, I have no idea whether or not one of the other SOACs, or indeed a member of our SO, is sufficiently motivated to submit a rejection action petition to their respective SOAC leadership for consideration. I have a gut sense that there is a fair amount of motion surrounding those two proposed budget cuts. And the threshold for actually getting a rejection action petition up and running is rather high because it requires the support of at least a second ACSO. And the time frames are pretty tight to, A, get the petition in to begin with and considered by your SOAC leadership, and, B, to solicit the support of another SOAC. I think the odds are really low, but I don't think they're zero. And I really feel that if we find ourselves in the run-up to Panama after, late April, well, actually, after whenever after the board votes, actually, that we actually have a viable one that needs to be dealt with by the empowered community and needs to be considered. I think not being able to hold a public forum on something as contentious as that in Panama would be most unfortunate. I hope that answers it. Any other questions? Jordan?
Jordan Carter.nz. You mentioned ICANN-Wiki and fellowship travel funding, I think, as the two contentious items. There's also the big uplift in personnel costs at ICANN, going from $55 million to almost $80 million over 3 years. And the CCNSO made comments about that. Has the council or you considered actually moving towards a rejection action petition based on any of the items identified by the SOP?
I personally have not. I'll let the council chair speak for the council. It was noted in the SSOP's comment and also in a couple other comments. My focus on the ICANN-Wiki and the fellowship stuff was based really on the number of comments that poured in on those two topic areas. Katrina?
Yes, thank you very much. No, the council hasn't considered filing a rejection petition yet, but again, let's see how the final budget looks like and if there are any grounds for us doing this really very serious step. It shouldn't be taken lightly.
Can I just clarify? I'm not suggesting we should be, but I think that ICANN definitely needs to have a better explanation of that big uplift in staff costs in the next version of the budget. If they don't, I think that should be something that should be started to be at least considered.
In my personal capacity, I agree with you. Any others? Okay, Katrina, I'll turn it over to you then.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Yeah, I will not repeat everything that Stephen highlighted during the webinars that we run on 28 February and 2nd of March. Actually, you can find on our website a recording from the webinar of 28th February. So if you're interested, please listen to the recording. Here I will try to highlight what we already have prepared to make sure that we are a good member of the empowered community. So we have a guideline for CCNSO nominations to specific reviews. This guideline apparently will have to be reviewed after operating standards are adopted. Then we have a guideline for appointing our representative to the Root Zone Evaluation Review Committee and also to the Empowered Community Administration. As you know, according to the bylaws, by default, it's the chair of the SOSC or decisional participant who is automatically member of EC administration, but this can be changed, and the CCNSO chose the path of having procedure to select a representative to the Empowered Community Administration. Currently, this Stephen, who does an excellent job on that committee or administration. And then we have also a guideline for selecting our members to the Customer Standing Committee. We still need to approve approval actions and rejection actions, the guidelines, to make sure that we have a procedure to handle those. Apparently, there's an approval action guideline will need to be reviewed again to make sure that it is in line with rejection action guideline. We still need started working on IHANI PR community coordination group guideline, and David will speak more about that, and we also need a guideline to appoint our representative to the CCG, which is Community Coordination Group. A little bit more in detail about the rejection action guideline. Here you can see all those actions that according to the bylaws can cause this rejection action. Currently it's ICANN budget, and this is what we are focusing on at the moment. Again, as you know, this is really a very tight timeline. When we have some 40-day public comment, then there's a report from the staff, then there's a decision from the ICANN Board of Directors, then they notify ECA, or Empowered Community Administration, and at that point, any decisional participant, including CCNSO, get involved. And here are seven core steps in the escalation process. They are all in detail explained in the recording of the webinar. So some main points that you can find in the guideline. First, the guideline introduces a new position. It's a rejection action petition manager. That is a person who is responsible for handling rejection action petitions, or initial handling, let's say. And two more members, councillors, they are all councillors, two more councillors to form this rejection action petition committee. The guideline says that neither rejection action petition manager nor any other two councillors who are on the rejection action petition committee may not submit rejection action petition themselves. So to avoid any conflicts of interest. Still, the guideline defines who can submit a petition. That's a CCTLD. That those are that's we give specific right to our SOPC, that is the committee that actually reviews budget and plans, so that they are in a position to evaluate if there is a need for a petition. So, plus, you don't have to be a CCNSO member to submit rejection action petition. So any CCTLD can do that. I'll also give that power to the council. Council as such. There are also, of course, requirements for submission, but they merely mirror what is already said in the bylaws. So the rejection action petition must be based on a previous comment, the comment that was submitted during the public comments period. You cannot I don't like the budget, so I submit a rejection action petition. It really must be grounded in the previous comment, or in one way or the other. And that, by that I mean that either the substantial comment was not properly addressed in the final version of the document, or maybe it some other comment that was addressed, and now it's clear to you that the document or the budget, for example, has become totally unacceptable, and there are some really serious flaws. The guideline defines the process for reviewing of submitted petitions, how they are grouped if necessary, and how the Rejection Action Petition Committee handles them and issues advice to the council. That is one thing is about submitting petition. Another thing is that if some other decisional participant decides to submit a rejection action petition, then at one point CCNSO, we as a decisional participant, we get involved in the process, and the guideline also addresses how we can respond, what the council must do, how we consult the community to see if we should join or decide not to join a particular rejection action petition. The guideline is also very specific about the timelines and what are the responsibilities of each of the players, whether that's a community member or a council or a rejection action petition committee. And at the end, when there's a final decision about the rejection action petition, there all membership have a say. So the final decision is the subject for veto by 10% of our members, which is according to the current CCNSO rules of the CCNSO from 2004. That's basically a very short summary, so thank you. If there are any questions, we, together with Stephen, we're happy to take them.
Any questions? If no, I will turn it over to David.
Thank you, Stephen. Good morning, everyone. My name is David McCauley, and I'm here in my capacity with .cc, and I'm also the leader of the ICANN Independent Review Process Implementation Oversight Team. Thank you. That team was created as a construct of the CCWG on accountability, and it's when the new bylaws went into effect in October of 2016, we became a creation of the bylaws now, so we're not any longer part of the CCWG. And I'll go through a couple of slides briefly just to sort of remind us of the background of the new IRP, and then I'll talk a little bit about a powered community IRP. Excuse me. If you want to know about the independent review process, go to the bylaws and read section 4.3. It's probably 10, 15 pages. It's somewhat complex, very interesting, and a good chronicle of the new rights that we have under the IRP process. Basically, the purpose is to ensure that ICANN complies with the articles and bylaws. That's really the standard by which IRPs will be looking. Hold ICANN to enforce the IANA naming functions contract. That's called out as a subject for IRP. Service complaints for direct customers of PTI is also within the ambit of IRP. And the whole thing is hopefully will reduce disputes over time, because these decisions will now be precedential, and they'll be maintained that way by a new standing panel. The scope, this includes, as I said, action and inaction by ICANN that is alleged to have been beyond bylaws or articles. It will include specifically decision complaints regarding process-specific expert panels. Those are bodies like were created under the new GTLD program to examine string similarity complaints, things of that nature. Actions, if someone has a complaint resulting from what they claim is an inadequate response to a DIDP request, that's cognizable at IRP now. Rights of the empowered community are, and specifically IRP does not have jurisdiction to look at CCT delegations and redelegations. The major development so far in the IRP, the bylaw itself, when it was passed, that's now done, that's in place. We need rules of procedure by which an IRP will operate. Those rules exist as part of the rules of the International Center for Dispute Resolution, but they have to be supplemented to take account of ICANN's idiosyncrasies. We're in the process of doing that. You've heard me say that before. We've made progress. We're close to the end. We may divide what we issue into two parts to take account of the things that we've already finished and the things that we have left remaining. There are one or two difficult issues. We're working our way through them, but the rules should be done shortly. Importantly on this slide is the third bullet. The standing panel has to be created, and that is not something within the purview of the implementation oversight team. That job falls to ICANN and SOs and ACs. And ICANN's job will be to facilitate a lot of this by releasing an expression of interest document, things of that nature, working with the SOs and ACs to gather in applications and look through them and vet them. When it comes to making nominations, ICANN will step back from that process, and the SOs and the ACs, they have the role of nominating members to a standing panel. And the standing panel, remember I said they're going to be issuing precedent-setting decisions. This is actually quite important. The standing panel has to be at least 7 members, has to be diverse, things of that nature. This is complex business, and the bylaws are somewhat high level. There will be a meeting tomorrow night in room 202 at 1700 where ICANN and SO and AC leadership will again get a chance to grapple with this issue and help SOs and ACs get organized, and it's important. So I would encourage all leadership members of SO and ACs to put that on their calendar and attend that meeting tomorrow evening at 1700 in room 202. The standing panel is an important process, so I'll just move on from that. Happy to answer questions about it. Now, what about empowered community-initiated IRP? I'll speak for a few minutes about it, but I can't cover it comprehensively. This, like NXD itself, is a very complex thicket. What I will say about it at a very high level is that in Section 4.2, I mentioned that you, if you want to know about IRP, read Bylaw 4.3. If you want to know about empowered community IRP claims, go to the Annex D and read Section 4.2. It allows for empowered community IRP. First should be a community mediation process. It's an effort to try and avoid IRP, obviously. And mediation, as you probably know, is a facilitated discussion. It's not like arbitration where someone's going to make a decision. It has a legally trained facilitator that the parties agree on that help them try and resolve the issue. And that's under Section 4.7 of the bylaw. It talks about the community mediation time. Okay, I'm sorry. Then let me just mention that with respect to empowered community IRPs, there are support level requirements and there are short time levels within which to reach these. And so if a decisional participant feels that they have sufficient basis to make an IRP claim, they have to seek the support of at least one other in order to get that ball rolling. And they'll have 21 days within which to do that. If that level, hurdle is reached, there will be a community forum, possibly a community conference call, but there'll be a community forum. This is not something that's face-to-face necessarily. It can be handled remotely. There's a 30-day period within which to do that to try and assess what kind of support exists for this claim. And then after following that, there's another period of time within which to gather the support needed to make the IRP claim. It's usually at least 3 decisional participants supporting the idea and not more than 1 objecting. That's the normal threshold. And so that is a very high-level look at this process. The implementation oversight team doesn't have a formal role in this. This is the empowered community deciding this. However, we in the oversight team tend to volunteer our help because we're becoming experts in the new IRP. Happy to do that with this community. I also participate in GNSO. Happy to do it with any community, really. And I do expect to be mapping out this process and the traps to get through. Just haven't done it yet. But so that, by and large, is a high-level look at the IRP.
Thank you, David. Any questions? We have about a minute. None. We are ending on time, and as you can see, our board members have arrived, and so we're going to segue into the next session, which is our conversation with the board. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll start momentarily. Board members, please join us here. There are also seats. ICANN doesn't give us many of them, but there are still some seats, so please do sit down. May I ask vice chairs also to join us here, and Giovanni, you too.
You can talk about your calculations.